James, Andy Hart. It's James and Hart getting you through your Saturday on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mark and Hart.
Hate the most, probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell. Phony Michelle.
Listening to you.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Show just the two of you Saturday.
The two of us, yep.
Mark and Hart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
That's a lot.
Well, you know.
And now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Dude, get off the air. You're a producer. Shut up.
Well, I don't need you. I could do a better show without
why
you.
Why can't you carry me?
You can leave right now?
I know I could.
And I wouldn't need you.
C-D-E.
Become quite, as you would say, a pussy.
Yeah.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart. Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Do not adjust your dials. We are live. This is the Power Hour of Mark and Hart as we were preempted today for BC Rutgers football, which you just heard here. The game lasted about 3 hours. The post game seemed like it lasted about 2 hours. But we are back. We are here with you for about an hour.
This is a sprint, not a marathon.
This is a sprint.
Outright. This is the 400. We got one lap. Just sprint until you puke.
2 weeks ago, Antonio Brown was released by the Raiders. We talked about the hypothetical possibility of coming to New England. We got off the air at 3 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, it was a reality. Then, I mean, just all hell broke loose. And the Sports Illustrated article comes out. We knew about the Brittany Taylor thing. The NFL interviews her for 10 hours. Nothing really seemed to come of that. But then there was an artist who was doing a mural of Antonio Brown, who he allegedly committed sexual assault on. She doesn't want any money. And
sexual misconduct.
Misconduct. There's so many of them here.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got alleged rape, alleged sexual misconduct, alleged intimidating text message.
Correct.
And
that's where, let's go there, because I've heard enough from people on Twitter saying, you know, Robert Klemko, SI, they made themselves part of the story. They took down Antonio Brown. Only one person took down Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Right? It's very simple.
Yep.
And everybody that says, oh, I thought somebody was innocent till proven guilty. He's innocent till proven guilty on the rape allegations and the sexual assault allegations. What he was guilty of, the final nail in his coffin in New England, was the dumbass texts. He cut himself. If you think it's anything other than that, you're either a super fan trying to rationalize it, you're an idiot, you're naive, I don't know
or
what
all
you
of
are.
The above.
Maybe all of the above. But Antonio Brown ended Antonio Brown
in
New England.
He did.
And maybe for the foreseeable future, his NFL career. I've actually been surprised.
Well, in 2019, I don't think he plays it down in the league.
Except for last Sunday.
You do?
I want him to go somewhere. I do.
Really?
He's the gift that keeps on giving. And now that I don't have to blog about it every 30 seconds when he does something dumb, now that I can watch it from afar. For example, if Tyreek Hill comes back and gets hurt, everybody is sort of attached him to the Chiefs at some level.
Yeah.
If Tyreek Hill blows out his knee once he returns, you know that they're going to just, you know, they'll think of, or say Odell Beckham. We know John Dorsey takes risks on people. He did it on Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. He did it with Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. Say one of the Cleveland receivers goes down. You don't think they'll at least ponder it within the building?
I think they're going to ponder in Seattle already.
They should.
Seattle, because
make a run at it. Let's go, Pete. Have fun.
Pete Carroll is okay with dealing with guys who might have some issues.
So is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, we do. Here's a question that I want to know. And were you not in Foxborough. You were on the air yesterday.
No, but I listened to it, and I analyzed it as perfectly as I've ever analyzed anything before. Bill's tone and his answers told you he was done, and he was done.
11:24 a.m., we had a walk-off,
Yes. Okay?
And it wasn't Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez. It was Bill Belichick in Foxborough walking off of his press conference.
Focus.
I'm all in. And then 3-4 hours later, About 4:05,
yeah,
I want to say.
Just after 4. 4:11, maybe they set out
to
release.
So my question to you is this. You spent 17 years there in New England, in Foxborough. What was the change of mind from Belichick walking off the press conference at 11:24 to shortly after 4 o'clock when it became worldwide, transcendent news, CNN, Fox News Channel, MSNBC, ABC World News, CBS World News, you name it. Why did they change their mind in just about 3.5 hours?
I don't think they did. I think he was already gone at that press conference. I think he was already gone. I think they were formulating, what do they call it, the exit strategies? They were formulating the exit strategy to make sure they did it properly, my guess would be, so that salary, not guaranteed, bonus money due Monday was a $5 million check.
$5 million, yep.
My guess is they were making sure they did it the right way,
okay,
so that they weren't on the hook for anything. Now, maybe there was a final discussion with Robert Kraft. You know, the reports from The Athletic are that Robert Kraft was traveling. Robert Kraft was enraged when he was made aware of these texts and this situation and mm-hmm. the intimidation. I think Bill, when he was on that podium, already knew. The way he opened and talked about Antonio Brown, he had like a 1 minute talk about the Jets. Then he turned to the Antonio Brown situation, basically said they take it seriously and we're looking into it, not the league. Remember, previously he has left it to, that's a league matter. We don't have anything to do with that. They're the ones investigating. No, no, no. We're looking into it. And I firmly believe, I wrote this as sort of a reactionary instant column last night after the move was made. I think when he said, I'm done with the rest of it, I think he was telling you, I'm done with Antonio Brown.
Mm.
This happened on our watch. He was a New England Patriot when this happened.
There it is.
And my guess is, whatever conversation Bill had, whether it was last Tuesday or multiples along the way, and said, screw off, okay? Put your damn phone away. Stop screwing around. Hey, we're big here, and it's not what you did before you got here. It's what you do once you're here, right? He had that conversation with him, and then he did something at best stupid when he was in New England, at worst criminal. Criminal intimidation, right?
Sure, sure.
And I know Mike Florio jumped on that in this HR-sensitive world of intimidation and accusers and, you know, these things, these videos we all have to watch once a year for HR. That the NFL couldn't allow this. Well, the Patriots couldn't allow it either. They were done.
That
and it was
it.
Insubordination because at some point he was asked to stop being an idiot.
Well, here's the thing. I will tell you, if you go back to 2 weeks ago, you wanted Antonio Brown here.
Yes.
I wanted Antonio Brown here.
Yep.
A lot of us want. So I'm not going to sit here from some sanctimonious, phony, Dungy soapbox and tell you that. I'll give Dungy credit on this one. He, like before any of the Brittany Taylor or the artist or any of the stuff came out, he said he was disappointed. And Robert Kraft, which we all, and I rail on Dungy because of the hypocrisy. However, in this situation, he cost him and his family $30 million from the Raiders. That was a guaranteed money. So he goes to New England, aligns himself with the single most successful professional sports franchise since the start of the new millennium, the New England Patriots, 6-time and, well, working on number 7 Super Bowl champions. And you could, like, there was something that precluded you that, and I will tell you, from someone who has learned a thing or two about text messages, when the worst thing that ever came from my phone is to a female saying that you have Walmart peroxide hair, good luck with your amateur modeling career in that metropolis of Northampton, which was completely innocuous, albeit D-bag-ish. But something that was not threatening, not misogynistic, not, any sexual overtones, whatever. You had the Patriots throwing you a lifeline. Brady saying he's 1,000,000% in, opening his doors to letting you live with him and Giselle. And you could not stop from texting this woman who was not after your money, didn't want a cent. You could not stop her from doing it. And that is, like, that to me is, like, my thing on Antonio Brown is this. Forget football. Forget it for now. Forget football. You need to concentrate on your life. You are having an existential meltdown. You need an intervention. And you need to stop having people, and I'll say this with all due respect because I've known the guy forever, like Drew Rosenhaus, being your yes men. Same thing I saw this week with Big Poppy. Not to go off topic here, Big Poppy does a freaking press conference. Well, he's selective sports media, like 3 or 4 of them, and he's wearing another shirt that makes him look like he's in a boy band. And I've asked this question about Big Poppy for years. I say, why? He goes, he surrounds himself with yes men. Just people that tell him. And Antonio Brown, and I will right now at this juncture, even though I know you like to watch the daily and weekly train wreck that has been Antonio Brown for the better part of the last 9.5, 10 months,
I really think for, like, and now the NFL won't put him on exempt list because he's a free agent.
Right.
But they can also investigate, and they can get the, I'm sure they already have, the artist's cell phone, and to see what happened Wednesday night.
He could be suspended.
That's a legal, do you know that in a court of law, a text message is a legal affidavit?
Oh, yeah. It's on the record. It's there. That's why you got to be careful in this day and age, as you've learned, that when you hit that send button, and you'll notice in the five other people in this group text, his lawyer's official comment, you'll notice, A, I didn't advise him to do it, and B, you'll notice I didn't respond. He's not taking part in something. Wouldn't stun me, by the way. He lost the Patriots. He lost Bill Belichick via those texts. He may have lost his legal representation, too. He may be looking for a new lawyer to represent him in these various issues. But you're right, and we know one of those yes men by name now. What was it? Eric B. was one of the guys that were, boss, we're on it tomorrow. We'll investigate her.
Yeah.
Like, he just, it's, we talked about it 2 weeks ago in Oakland. He's self-destructive. Right now, he is self-destructive.
But he doesn't understand that he's one foot out of 345 Park Avenue on his way to working for Vince McMahon in the XFL. Well, that's where he's headed.
No. They've already tweeted they have no interest.
They did?
XFL tweeted, no interest. We have no interest in Antonio Brown.
Shut the front door. Really?
I believe it was them.
Really?
I think it was their actual account.
Wow.
You can look that up.
Wow.
But you're right, because with those texts, when he sent send on those texts.
Seriously.
He went from, I know we are over-the-top homers here.
Yeah.
But they've been to eight straight AFC title games, right?
With Antonio
Brown, it was a virtual certainty he was playing in the last weekend in January, right?
Right.
Now, it's a borderline certainty he won't play on the third weekend, the fourth weekend of September, the first weekend of October, or maybe any weekend the rest of the season. And that's how greatly he took that. He was cruising to the AFC title game. He was in the high-speed lane, and at the last second, he was one of those jerks that cut over three lanes of traffic and took the exit, and he crashed.
Easy, Grandma!
And then you had $30 million.
Yeah, what does Grandma think of this? How's she going to advise him through this issue?
$30 million guaranteed by the Raiders. Then you had approximately 9 in signing bonus and 10 guaranteed by the Patriots. And that's been reduced to, because he was on the roster of the Raiders prior to week one, and he played week two, and he just got cut yesterday. He is now, grand total, his earnings is like $153,000.
Grandma, they free me!
How's that? You went from $30 million.
What do you think of that, Grandma? $30 million to $150 million.
To $150 million.
Which, by the way, he owes half of that to all these people in the SI story. The caterer and the painting.
Right.
If they collect theirs.
So it's like Antonio, listen.
Now he's made $69 million. I'm not going to lose a tear for him.
No, I know. But it's like, you are having, this is your life, Antonio Brown. You need this
intervention.
Monumental intervention. You need someone to read the riot act and, like, maybe his dad, because he talked about how he idolized his dad.
Theoretically.
I don't know. Someone needs to come and just get him, kind of what Frank Edelman did with Julian when he got popped for PEDs and they stopped talking for 4 months or whatever. And Frank basically told him what's up and they had it out but I love Frank Edelman, because you know why? He told Julian Edelman what none of the other yes men are going to tell him. And that's what it takes. And it's like Antonio Brown, I don't know if there's an individual. I know it ain't Drew and Jason Rosenhaus for sure. You just don't know. And it's sad, because here's a guy that, I'll say it again. What was he? He had three practices last week. He came in, caught a touchdown like he was walking and chewing gum from Brady. He arguably, when it comes to on the field talent and ability, is the best wide receiver in the entire free world. And he's let his ego, he's let his entitlement, he's let all these things get in the way of him doing what he has done, to being that six-round draft pick out of Central Michigan that was passed over so many times. Instead, somewhere along the way, that dude took a bad detour. He got off a wrong exit. And the problem is, to quote AC/DC, he's on a highway to hell. And he really is.
To me, the worst part of it isn't his career. He came from nothing, right? He was living on the streets at times, poor, that whole thing. And usually what happens with those people, like Kyle Van Noy, comes from foster care. What has he done? He's made it.
he now helps foster kids, right?
That's awesome.
Antonio Brown has gone the other way.
I know.
He looks down upon poor people. He was mocking this woman because her kids were wearing cheap clothes. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, man.
What? It's like, bad. You're a horrific human being. And, I mean, this guy, you're right in that he's ruining his career, but he's just a bad dude.
I know.
And I knew people
and
tried
by the
to
way,
make...
I have to tell you, now I know why you didn't want to buy your son the Antonio Brown Patriots jersey.
There was no chance of that.
I got it.
I
want to
watch him. He's an elite talent. I'm a fraud like the rest of you. I want to see touchdowns. You were going to see double-digit touchdowns from Tom Brady to Antonio Brown this year. It was going to be fun. But guess what? And this is the most important part for the here and now as we move forward to the Jets and then whatever. Patriots were good before Antonio Brown got here.
Yeah.
Patriots will be good after Antonio Brown.
So to me, all right, you can toss around the, you know, hypothetical run at 16-0 again, whatever. You could do that when Antonio Brown was here. So at very worst, the Patriots go 14-2, 13-3. They're the number one seed in the AFC. They clinch a bye in the first round, home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and then they host the Chiefs in the AFC title game for the ninth straight year. What changes? Nothing.
Oh, worst case scenario?
Right.
They go to the Chiefs, like they did last year.
But
that's the worst case scenario.
No, because their
defense
is so much better this year.
It is much better.
They didn't have Jamie Collins. They didn't have Michael Bennett. Raynan Juwan Bentley last night at Raising Cane's over next to BU. He was with Carson Edwards, his fellow Purdue guy. Juwan Bentley is a Greek god.
Yes.
Like, he's a bad man. Like,
and he's basically done nothing yet. Like, he's one of those guys. They have this list of guys. They've been dominant through 2 weeks.
I know.
And they have all these guys that have yet to make plays. You know, Gerard Mayo was the one who said it. Like, the comparison is there. Gerard Mayo and Juwan Bentley. You see the number 51, the middle line.
Yeah.
And Gerard goes, he's bigger than me. He's faster than me. He's quicker than me. Yeah. He's stronger than me.
And Gerard Mayo
was an all-pro linebacker.
Yeah, Gerard Mayo was no slouch. That dude was an SEC, all-SEC, first-round draft pick. I mean, he was, and I will say this, that guy, it's weird. When I look at Gerard Mayo on the sidelines, he looks so natural as a coach.
Oh,
that guy, and I know Tom Curran has been beating the drum for him to be. I will tell you, I got to tell you, I thought Tom Curran was maybe a little too eager on that, playing the drums there on him being a head coach. But
he's going to be a head coach.
No, but like,
I don't think he's going to be the head coach of the Patriots.
No, but sooner than later, somewhere.
Yes, in this day and age,
sooner than later,
guys jack up the ladder pretty damn quickly.
If I'm Gerard Mayo, stay in the NFL. Don't, because you could go in, like, Jeremy Pruitt's going to get fired at Tennessee, his alma mater.
Oh, that'd be fun, though.
Like don't go to Tennessee. Don't go to your alma mater.
That's fun. You get the right college job.
Yeah.
And you just stay there for 20 years.
But you know,
and you live the high life.
Yeah,
they give you a house. They give you a car. They give your wife a card down the street at Nordstrom or wherever she wants to go.
Yeah, and there's some fringe benefits that come along with it, too.
Easy.
No, but there are. There are. Ask Lane Kiffin. Ask.
Okay. You know,
no, but like, they're thing. But Jerron Mayo's happily married. Man,
that's
I'm not
what
talking.
I'm saying.
Right, no.
He's an above board character.
But what I'm saying is that, like, Calhoun's on the river in Knoxville. Your money's no good there.
Exactly.
You come in, you get, for, like, I mean, you just, there's so many things, but all I know is this with Antonio Brown is that when you sent this Wednesday night, you, like, to quote Vince McMahon and paraphrase Vince McMahon, that the Patriots or the NFL didn't screw Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown screwed Antonio Brown. That's it. How stupid can you be? That's the thing. It's like, and I'm not throwing this out there and I'm not being insensitive. I'm saying it. I believe, and I'm no doctor and I don't play one on the radio or TV, he has some serious mental issues. I think there's some mental issues. He is having an existential meltdown right now. It is, you don't need to be a real psychiatrist or a dime store one on the air to figure out this dude is not right. He needs to get right. And I hope he gets his life straight. And I got to tell you, sending a intimidating text message is not worthy enough for him to be expelled from the NFL for like a whole year. But if he's guilty of what this artist is claiming, alleged sexual misconduct, and, you know, like, that's the thing that you just, to me, three teams have given up on you in 6 months.
Right.
Three.
And one of them is the Raiders, which is, you know, the wayward home for outcasts.
Right.
And one of them is the New England Patriots, where Bill Belichick before this had a pretty good track record taking these guys in and making it work. He met his match in Antonio Brown.
He did.
His crazy-ass match.
He did.
And
Give him credit, though, and I know a lot of people don't want to give him credit. He pulled the plug pretty quickly. And I don't know how much Robert had to do with that, or he. I think it was Belichick, because I don't think he likes insubordination. I don't think he likes
So you think when it came out that he texted her Wednesday night for Belichick, that was his last straw?
He was done.
That was it.
I think he
that
said, I'm it. Done with this. He probably called Robert. Robert said, I agree. I'm done with it. I was kind of done with it last week, whatever. Okay. And they said, yep, let's get rid of him. Let's do it the right way, contractually. Make sure we sort of dot the I's, cross the T's, and do this as simply as possible. But... And they're going to move on, and they're going to be fine. And we're getting texts, Julian Edelman's old, and Josh Gordon could be out of the league. Will they have some hiccups along the way? Will there be a work in progress at some point with injuries? Yeah, but they also have, by the way, the deepest backfield they've ever had. They have a litany of contributors. Damian Harris goes from Alabama, where he's a multi-time 1,000-yard rusher in the best program in the country, I just caught my eye the other day. You just look down the locker room. He's just sitting there in his chair. And it's like he's like this forgotten non-factor.
The Patriots are the only team I know in the NFL that redshirts draft picks. They redshirt him.
Redshirt Duke Dawson, 1,000-yard rushers out of the best program in the country.
Duke Dawson, second-round pick, Florida. Oh, we redshirt him. Right. We just redshirt him.
Because they're that damn deep all over the field.
Yeah, we actually, Andy, prior to the show being preempted from 4 to 5:05, I had, because we were normally on every Saturday from 11 to 3. I booked the guy who's the illegal analyst for The Athletic, Daniel Wallach.
Yes.
I've known Dan for, I call him Danny. I've known him for 16 years. He actually, when there was a hurricane in Miami, it was Wilma or Katrina, one of those, actually stayed at his place. So we're going to have him on by the end of the hour.
Okay.
We're going to have him on. I want to grab some phone calls in here real quick, though. Let's, House in Dorchester has been holding for a while. House, go ahead.
What's going on, Mita?
Hey, man.
First off, let me tell you, I like your show. I love your show. You're my guy. And I just want to say this. I just want to just take a step back. Like you said, take football out of it. You was right on a few things that I agreed with. But what I'm saying is this. When Brittany Taylor came out with the accusation, all these accusations, and there's no police action. Like, what I'm telling you is if sexual crimes, when that happens, people usually go to the cops. Okay. Now, if he sent those intimidating messages, which I don't think, I think it was a group text, I probably think he may have had something to do with it, but there's no way they're going to be able to say if he did it. And I don't think he did it.
Well, they actually said,
well, it's his phone, his number. I mean, I guess you could say somebody else took his phone and was doing it for him, but
I'm not even saying somebody took his phone. You know, people hack things. Listen, he was on a downward spiral. He's on a downward spiral. People that don't like him, that he's ever done something to, this is their time. They can come out. Forget football. They can come out. See, this is
perfect. I know. House, that's how we're in a rains it pours. You're right.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
There's a lot of water to fall on.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
My thing, House, was that even with the alleged sexual misconduct, forget about Brittany Taylor. The NFL talked to her for 10 hours and nothing came of it. So they, I'm sure, did their due diligence and comprehensive research and interrogated and found out everything they need to know and nothing. The thing was,
yes,
you had been given a new lease on life, literally, with the Patriots, and you couldn't stop from texting her on Wednesday night with all of that. House, that's the only thing in this situation. I'm just concentrating on that and just like that alone, that Belichick and Brady and Kraft and this franchise was willing to get you something that you've never gotten in your life, which is a Super Bowl ring, and you couldn't refrain from not texting in a group text about her being super poor?
Yes. And let's do some research on her. Here's her poor ass kids, basically. It was intimidation. There's no doubt. When you say you're going to research somebody and you're in a feud like this,
I know.
Why are you researching? To put that to use somehow, right? To somehow gain some leverage, to have a hammer to use. By the way, I'd also like to question House. I've never really heard anybody saying they were hacked in a group text.
No.
Twitter, usually, social media, sure. Yeah. If he had done this on Instagram, claim hack all you want.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue one of your underlings took your phone, I guess, and this wasn't you. But I don't think anybody believes that. And make no mistake.
Well, listen.
He was cut because of the text.
Yeah. I will tell you, because that's exactly what happened to me. But I will tell you, I knew everything that they were texting, and I allowed it to happen. So at the end of the day, I was responsible for everything that came from my phone. Whether I did or not, it doesn't matter. And I had friends, I'm like, it came from my phone. I'm copying your private citizens. I'm not getting your names dragged through the mud. I'll take the heat on this one. It came from my phone, and I shouldn't let you idiots do what you know. When you get a little alcohol involved, you haven't beaten Florida State for the first time in 7 years. Things happen, but it is what it is. We'll talk to Daniel Walk from the Athletic legal analyst. He will answer every, because he had an interesting article this week. He sort of forecasted this happening.
Yeah.
And then it happened a couple days after the article that he wrote, which is interesting. We'll talk to him coming up next, but now it's time for trending.
This is James and Hart on WEEI.
Antonio, what have you heard from the league, if anything, about your availability before?
I appreciate that question. You know, I'm just here to just focus on ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Antonio.
That was the last question of Antonio Brown as a New England Patriot.
Ever.
This is Mark and Hart here on WEEI. And coming up, our next guest, he is the legal analyst. He's all over the place from The Athletic. I've known him for a very long time. He is down in South Florida, Daniel Wallach. I call him Danny, but we'll keep it Daniel, but you can check out his stuff. You wrote an interesting article earlier this week, Dan, and I mentioned to Andy before the break, it almost was like it was a harbinger of things to come with the Antonio Brown situation, because you wrote that article about 48 or 72 hours before Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have finally decided to part ways with Antonio Brown. What do you think was the ultimate deciding factor?
Well, the Patriots, thanks for having me on, Mark. We do go back a long, long time, so thank you for having me. The difference here, what really put Antonio Brown on a path to, you know, the waiver wire, is he was given a clean slate by Kraft and Bill Belichick, and anything that occurred before he signed with the Patriots, the NFL would investigate that, but the Patriots would have his back for the time being. Once he committed this, sent those threatening and arguably threatening and intimidating messages to her by text message while on the Patriots' watch, that was a game changer. Without those text messages, which were precipitated by that Sports Illustrated article, he probably would be playing for a while. And I wrote that article last week, earlier this week, predicting that the NFL would put him on the exempt list. I didn't write that the Patriots would cut him. So I was right that he would not be active this week, but for the wrong reasons.
So, Daniel, everything that's gone on in the last 11 days, I guess, the civil lawsuit, these texts, the SI story with Robert Klemko telling this station that he's actually heard some people may file charges based on some of the accusations in there. What is the legal future of Antonio Brown? What are the biggest issues he's facing moving forward, whether or not he's in the NFL?
Well, the most important consideration is whether he'll be criminally charged with a rape. Brittany Taylor filed sexual assault allegations against him in a civil lawsuit in Miami. And
But Dan, not to cut you off, but that's not criminal.
No, but I spoke with the Hollywood Police Department, and the incident occurred, if at all, in Broward County, not Miami. So there's a discrepancy in the complaint that she filed. But the Hollywood Police Department told me that if she makes a criminal complaint, or files an incident report with the City of Hollywood Police Department, then they will investigate it. So I don't think he's completely out of the woods yet from a criminal perspective. It probably doesn't go that route, but it's not like the Pennsylvania allegations, which are barred by the statute of limitations. So depending on what kind of testimony comes out and or whether she decides to report the incident to the City of Hollywood, he could potentially have some criminal exposure still. So that is number one with a bullet, the most serious allegation that he's facing. Now, many of the incidents that appear in the Klemko article in Sports Illustrated, a number of them involve either civil lawsuits with former trainers, former chef, and then, of course, there's the mural artist who complains that he or accuses him of exposing himself to her while she was painting a mural. But she isn't threatening civil litigation. So I think the Klemko story isn't the tip of the iceberg necessarily, but it was the catalyst for what ultimately did Antonio Brown in with the New England Patriots. But his first priority is that civil lawsuit. And of course, looking ahead, I think within the NFL, you know, he'll have some legal issues in trying to recover his guarantees from both the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders. I mean, consider this. I mean, 6 months ago, he had a guarantee of $30 million, and now that has been whittled down all the way down to $120,000. So he has gone from, you know, $30 million to basically an insignificant amount of money in only a few months. So I think he's going to be fighting through the grievance process to recover guarantees that undoubtedly the Patriots and the Raiders will not pay to him.
All right, so we're joined by Daniel Walk, legal analyst from The Athletic here on Mark and Hart. Agreed to a $9 million signing bonus. The clause could be negated as part of the deal. They also saying that a player must disclose situations that may prevent continued availability. He did not, according to reports, and I don't think the Patriots knew about Brittany Taylor prior to him agreeing to a deal 2 weeks ago, right about now, Dan, which guaranteed him $10 million. So what happens with all that?
Well, it might give the Patriots an out on his contract, but I raise this question to you. I mean, they knew about this civil lawsuit a week ago last Tuesday, yet placed him on the active roster and used him in the game against the Miami Dolphins. So now, after the fact, after these text messages that are going to come out, they're going to go back and rely upon that earlier basis for not paying him his guarantees. I think the fact that the Patriots activated him, used him, knowing this information, basically waives that argument. And if that's the reason they're going to deny him his contractual guarantees, I think they lose that in a grievance proceeding. I think the better argument or the better basis on which the Patriots can deny him his bonuses and guarantees would be the allegedly threatening and intimidating messages, which are certainly on the cusp of conduct detrimental, you know, to the team and to the game of professional football. When you make threats like that, it's far more serious than not disclosing the possibility that you're going to be sued civilly. And I wonder how threatening these texts were. I mean, they're enough in my book to cut them. But his attorney was on the phone and three other people were copied. So I don't believe in his heart he meant to threaten, the accuser number two, but it was certainly in poor taste. And from her perspective, subjectively, I would be intimidated. I would feel threatened. So that may be enough to void his contractual guarantees, in my opinion, based upon that NFL language and the language in a standard player contract. But the fact that he didn't disclose the possibility that he would be sued, I think that train left the station the moment he caught his first pass last Sunday.
So, Daniel, focusing on the quote-unquote smoking gun, these texts, intimidation that you just sort of talked about, I've heard people pose the idea that, you know, had the NFL allowed this to move forward, this is almost an HR violation. It's sort of a retaliation, and this might open doors in the future to other players who are being threatened with lawsuits or accusations. They could intimidate witnesses. Is that your read on this, that this truly is intimidation and something that these players, this league, needs to avoid moving forward?
I don't think so. From my vantage point, the one, one development or lesson that I could draw from this saga is that the threat of civil litigation or civil litigation in and of itself now becomes a basis on which the NFL can commence an investigation and imperil a player's livelihood and career. Prior to Antonio Brown, that had never, at least to my knowledge, occurred, during the reign of Roger Goodell. In fact, a year ago, there was a woman, or two different women, who filed separate lawsuits against Jacksonville Jaguar defensive lineman Marcellus Darius.
Yep.
Both lawsuits alleged sexual assault, and in one of them, the allegation was that he also gave a sexually transmitted disease to the plaintiff. So you had two separate civil lawsuits alleging sexual assault. NFL didn't investigate, didn't place Darius on the exempt list, and there was very little heard about that. And now a year later, the NFL is treating a civil lawsuit far differently than it ever has in previous years. So if I were to look for some, lesson to be drawn from this saga, It's that now going forward, civil litigation will be grist for the mill for the NFL disciplinary process.
Daniel Wallach, legal analyst from The Athletic. Dan, when you look at this as a whole now, let's say the accuser number two, the mural artist, that she's not going to press charges, okay? Or I believe with her, she was the one that was in Pennsylvania, so I believe the statute of limitations is already passed. Is that correct?
Well, for Brittany Taylor's Pennsylvania-based allegations, those occurred in 2017. Those are time-barred. Accuser number two may very well be within the statute of limitations.
Okay, so if she does not pursue charges, and
she has an attorney, Mark, she has an attorney. She says she doesn't want money, but you have an attorney representing you who's now being actively engaged and interfacing with the NFL, and her communications with the league office led to the Patriots cutting Antonio Brown. So I think they're maybe working up a case potentially in the civil court system to sue Antonio Brown. I mean, she has an attorney.
If that were to happen, would we find out her texts? Because I do wonder, we look at it as Antonio Brown went after her in a group text. Is it possible that if there were a lawsuit, we would find out she had previously actually texted him and maybe ignited this process?
There is nothing that this accuser could possibly have done to justify Antonio Brown sending a text message of that nature. It was gratuitous. It was career altering. And he was on a zero tolerance policy.
Yep.
Once he signed on the dotted line with the New England Patriots, he should have known better. So it really does raise the question as to Antonio Brown's, you know, mental state and whether he has he has some clarity as to how to behave, and he's made himself toxic for the rest of the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks were interested in signing him before the Patriots did. Now they don't want to touch him. So, you know, the question is not whether Antonio Brown will recoup the $15 million that he's lost for this year, but whether anybody will even want him at any price. And now, as a result of this behavior, it looks highly doubtful, because the moment any team were to sign him, then that activates the possibility that Commissioner Goodell will place Brown on the exempt list. It's no longer just the civil lawsuit accuser, but it's now the allegations in the Sports Illustrated article. And thirdly, it was the text messages, hard evidence of a threat of intimidation and harassment, which directly, if the commissioner believes that is intimidating and harassing, I mean, that's covered by the personal conduct policy. That's an automatic fine or suspension. He is within the personal conduct policy solely by virtue of those text messages. So I think were he to sign with another team, he would be facing a quick detour to the exempt list. And as a result of that possibility or likelihood, I don't think a team touches him this year.
Daniel, just curious from your perspective, if you were Antonio Brown's lawyer and you were having dinner the other night and you suddenly bong, your cell phone rung, and you were in this group text, what would your reaction have been?
Severe indigestion, and I would go into full damage control right away. But I think the egg, you can't unscramble the egg at that point. The damage is done.
Yeah.
I think as an attorney, you would advise your witness, you better dial that down and clarify what you meant. And I don't think that occurred here.
Yeah.
I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, Brown's attorney faced a no-win situation. He found himself in the middle of a group text in which a threatening and intimidating message was sent. I mean, if he were going to represent Brown in the civil litigation, he might end up being disqualified. He's almost like a witness, as much as he is an attorney. But as an attorney, that's the last thing you want to see a client ever do.
Unbelievable.
You know, once there's an accusation floating out there, and to imagine that you're in the group text, oh my God.
You don't want to turn into a witness. Daniel Wallach, follow him on Twitter. His handle is Wallach Legal. Great spot, Dan. We appreciate you making time for us on a Saturday afternoon and kind of shedding some light on this. And look forward to your stuff on The Athletic. If you didn't read the Antonio Brown article that was released this week, I highly implore everybody out there to do so. And thanks again. And we don't want you to get severe indigestion, okay?
Yeah, that would have been the least enjoyable dinner of all time. I guarantee you that.
All right, Danny. Thanks, Daniel. We'll talk.
Thankfully, no client has ever done that.
Right, exactly. All right, man. Thanks, man. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, Daniel Wallach.
Thank you, Andy. Bye-bye.
Right here on Mark and Hart.
That was the first thing I thought of. Like,
yeah,
how
yeah.
that would ruin your night.
I
just
know.
That stomach
yeah.
feeling churning. Oh, boy. Like, oh, my God. What are we doing?
Ruin
now?
Your night? Like, you got to be like.
Weak.
Oh, week.
Not just night.
I was going to say.
I'd go week.
Maybe a year. And I mean, it's.
I got to tell you, I would consider. I'm no longer.
Right.
Like, I'm out.
Yes.
I'm out.
Yes.
I'm sure I may get called because I'm on the text later down the road, but I'm no longer representing.
That's it. All right. Final segment. Andy Hart, I say this to you like nicely. Get out of here and go home to your family. Go. Get on the road.
I'm here. I might as well finish the hour.
All right. Great.
I can give you 60 minutes.
Okay. We got the 1 hour power hour. If you want, we'll grab a phone call or two.
Yes.
617-779-7937.
Right back to James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
I got a preemptive text from an executive with one of the teams that had been rumored to be interested in Antonio Brown last time, right after he was released, saying, not interested. This is absolutely a different case than what we had before. And let's talk about how things went down here with the New England Patriots. My understanding is Antonio Brown was on extremely thin ice from the moment that the initial allegation of sexual assault came out a day after he had signed with the Patriots. At that point, really all that was saving AB in New England was the fact this was a civil complaint and not a criminal complaint. If he had been criminally charged, he's probably gone at that point. Now fast forward to Wednesday night, Robert Klemko of Sports Illustrated publishes the text messages from Antonio Brown to a second woman showing photos of her children. Whatever the intention was, intimidation or otherwise, that took it to another level, and it was something that happened while AB was in the Patriots building.
Wow, that's Tom Pelissero from NFL Network. And I agree with that assessment. I think there was something criminal. It's like you've got to be kidding me. It's something inside of you that just propelled you to send that out and put you in a position where you're not going to be catching touchdown passes from Tom Brady anymore. Like you've got to be like, you're either the dumbest human being on earth, or you just don't get it. Or you're mentally unstable, or all of the above.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors here, but clearly he has no respect. I use the respect word.
No.
For Tom Brady, for Bill Belichick, for Robert Kraft, for coaches, for teammates, for players, for
humanity. Humanity.
Maybe himself. I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into that whole psychoanalysis, but he has no respect. He has no ability to just do the right thing. I said it before.
I know.
Honeymoon period. Like, there's been a lot of bad guys, a lot of guys with baggage and issues and maybe mental issues, almost all of them everywhere. For a while, there's that honeymoon period where they're just like, I'm going to be the good soldier. I'm going to do as I'm told I'm smart enough to know. But he didn't. He didn't in Oakland. And everybody thought then it was a shell game. He was playing everybody. He just wanted to get to New England, right? I think that storyline has gone out the window.
Yeah.
Because it's clear who he is right now. He's a self-destructive idiot who can't help himself and has ruined a Hall of Fame career. Right? Ruined it. He'll probably still go to the Hall of Fame because he's had six straight 100 catch years and all of that crap, but he's taking away prime of his career years where he could be with the best quarterback of all time, the best coach of all time, the best franchise of all time, just buffing up his bust, right?
Well,
Adding to the legend.
That's the thing about it. This was a chance for him to go to image rehab, rehabilitation, and you get a chance to sort of right the wrong of Pittsburgh and Oakland. And then next year, if you really want to cash in and the Patriots not part of paying a diva wide receiver a lot of money, you could go to Jacksonville or Seattle or go to your hometown of Miami.
Somebody will make a mistake.
Right. Somebody will make a mistake and they'll give you those millions and millions of dollars the way the Raiders did. But now it's like, you've blown it. You blew it. You took what you had and you blew everything. And that's the part of me that I'm looking at this. You know, I'm looking at this through perspective, and you're a father. I am not. Through his, like you're doing this to your, like, what you're doing to your kids.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about you. If you're a self-loathing individual and you truly want to go down this, like, as you mentioned, self-destructive path, famine. You're doing this to your kids. You're like you said, you're tarnishing your legacy of a guy who unequivocally, hands down, is a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And now you're doing it all wrong. And it's like, I want to know why. That's the thing. Like, what motivates you to send the text on Wednesday night? Forget about forget about Oakland. Forget about Pittsburgh. In New England, why did you send that text when you had everything to lose and you lost it?
Because he can't help himself. That's the answer to all these. He can't help himself. And that's where I get back to, and I wasn't really joking. You know, he grandma is in that phone call.
I know. Well, I know.
We look at this from the outside in such an obvious lens. Where is the family? Where is the father, the grandmother? I mean, I'm being like, I can remember my grandmother. Now, I was young at the time, but, you know, like grabbing you by the ear and just like shaking you and basically telling like, what the bleep are you doing?
Right.
That's obviously less important factors when I was getting my ear grabbed, but he needs somebody to grab him by the damn ear.
It's too late, man.
It may be too late.
I don't think there is.
It may be.
Yeah, because no one can tell him. No one's the boss of him. No one. I mean, you had. I mean, just imagine if you're like let me put in Antonio Brown. Like, let's say you had a very successful career at Microsoft, but at the end things went awry, right? And you had a falling out with whoever took over for Steve Ballmer. I don't know who it is, and whatever. And then, or did you mean Bill Gates? Bill Gates. You had a falling out with Bill Gates, and you ran afoul, and you might have had an issue with a woman in the office that, you know, this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, Tim Cook calls you from Apple and says,
"Brett,
I want you to take over. You're gonna head our production division in developing new iPhones and every product. Basically, you're going to take over for what Steve Jobs used to be. You're going to be our guy from going forward." And, you know, I know you had this situation at Microsoft. We don't care. Just move on. And you texted the woman that you had an issue with at Microsoft and you threw everything away. That's how stupid that it's like, it makes no sense. And the thing about it is that I see it. You see it. Nick, our producer, everybody sees it. He doesn't. I don't think that he understands the severity and the magnitude of how much he has fallen over the course of the last 6 months. And that, to me, is the saddest thing in the world, that you don't know. Like, dude, like I said, you are on a downward spiral. You are on a highway to hell. And the only thing that, I don't know if there's anything that can save him at this point.
And how about all the hangers-on? Or just the Rosenhaus brothers. Like, they are financially tied to this guy.
I know.
Who is pissing away tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
Right.
Right. Wait, what are we coming up with?
Throwing it away.
What was like 4% of 30 million was a pretty good number.
Yes.
It's a pretty good number.
Yes. A million and a half or whatever, 1.6 million.
And where's that now?
And how about all the others? This Eric B.
Gone.
Or these other guys that I'm sure there's a bunch of them that I've never heard of their names. You're part of his financial security. If he fails, you fail. You are tied to him financially. So you are invested in the product. What Ty Law used to call it, the corporation,
yes.
Ty Law Inc. Antonio Brown Inc., you were part of that, Drew Rosenhaus. You're part of that as a lawyer.
Okay, now remember another Diva wide receiver that was represented by Drew Rosenhaus, Terrell Owens.
Yes.
T.O., right? Remember that.
Always had a honeymoon period, by the way.
Always had a honeymoon.
Always had a honeymoon period.
He did. But the thing about T.O. is that even when he did the, you know, he acted a fool when he did the sit-ups in the driveway.
Yes.
Okay, and all that stuff. He was just being a clown and whatever. But when it ultimately came time to play football, he wanted to play football, and then eventually it would get bad. It got bad in San Francisco. It got, you know, he divided the locker room in Philadelphia.
Yep.
But he, like, to me, like, I think if you want one guy who could maybe get through to him, it would be T.O. and just said, "Dude, look what I did. Don't do what I did."
I'm not sure there's anybody.
All right. Well, listen, thanks to Nick LaPan, the man, Daniel Wallach for joining us.
That was tough work.
It's a very tough work. A lot of heavy lifting, man. Carrying your ass for an hour. Hopefully, I don't know if we're going to be back in next week as not 11-3 because the Red Sox have a noon game, but we'll see what happens going forward. Thanks for listening to Mark and Hart. And Red Sox pregame coming up next right here with Josh Lewin, and then Joe Kostick and Josh Lewin will have a call at 6:10 right here against the Rays on WEEI.